What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at BollandBranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
As promised, caller 10 right now at 800-636-1067. Congrats, you're going to win a pair of tickets to see the Capitals February 1st. That is a week from Saturday against Winnipeg at home. For tickets and the complete cap schedule, go to thefandc.com. The show's brought to you by the law firm Condorian Murad. They'll help you update your last will and testament. They'll set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys and do that today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Tell them we sent you. You'll get a discount. That's kmlawyers.com. Tomorrow, the show is live in Bethesda at Caddies on Cordell. Come on by and watch the program. Celebrate with your buddies. Bring them out, TI style. But wear your burgundy and gold. We would advise you to get ready for the NFC Championship game with us at Caddies on Cordell. Speaking of which, Danny, we got the game live on Sunday on Westwood One. Ian Eagle and Kurt Warner on the call. We've got play-by-play. We'll have pregame and postgame. Coverage starts at 9 a.m., goes all day on The Fan.
So cool. I mean, that's what you do. You go wall-to-wall when you're in the NFC Championship game. You know how it is.
I think it sounds like I have to get my marching orders on this still, but there's a developing situation for me where I'm going up Saturday night to take part in some festivities at Hard Times Cafe, I believe, in Philadelphia. A little rally developing.
Okay.
And then I'll be at the game on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field, representing the Grant and Danny radio program.
You're
not going to guess what I'm going to wear. I'm going to wear a Landon shirt to the game.
Wouldn't mean anything to you.
On Sunday.
Wouldn't mean anything to you if you did
a
that.
A Landon shirt, no less.
Could you actually not? I know you're joking with me, and that's fine, but could you just say that you're not going to do that?
I'm not going to do that.
Thank you.
It is time for our Beltway Blitz covering the National Football League. Let's get to it. PJ Glasser joins us, BetQL Network. PJ, let's start with the AFC title game. Bills and Chiefs, is this the year Buffalo gets by Kansas City?
It certainly could be, guys. I'm not going to bet that it is, though. I'm rolling with the Chiefs. You know, both of these teams are pretty similar in the sense that neither really makes a mistake, and they force their opponents into doing so. Everybody keeps doubting the Chiefs. We've heard all year, you know, how fraudulent this team is and how they're not as good as their record is, but they just keep finding ways to win games and, you know, being in this game seven straight times with the spread, you know, being pretty much a pick 'em. I think that's the key. If this was three and a half, that's a different story. Maybe you take Buffalo to cover, but the spread being what it is, I think the Chiefs win. I think they cover the game as well.
What's the most important thing for Buffalo in order to win it, to finally break this curse?
I think they got to force turnovers, Danny, you know, because they've won the turnover battle, you guys, in their last 22 games. They've been unbelievable at limiting their turnovers and also forcing the opponent into turnovers. And, you know, we saw it in the divisional round, right? Every team that won was outgained, but they won the turnover battle. And every team playing in conference championship week has not turned the ball over yet in the playoffs. So that's really been the story of the postseason. That's going to be the story of the two games on Sunday, especially in Buffalo, KC. So the Bills don't turn it over and they force a couple on the Chiefs, that they're going to win the game.
What is there left to be said about the Chiefs if they do beat Buffalo and they do get to the Super Bowl? Because I'll be honest, I mean, to get the bye, which they earned, but then to only have to beat the Texans to get to the AFC title game, this is the least impressive path to the championship game I can ever remember for anybody. It's like the opposite of the gauntlet, say, Washington has had to go on. And I understand, you earn that as the one seed, that's fine. Beating the Bills is a whole different ordeal, and then you'd be back in the Super Bowl in a year in which it just felt like they were kind of down. And even though they kept winning over and over and over again and they were inevitable, it was never with style points. Like, what is left to be said if they get back there and do it again?
I mean, there's really not much. You know, I would agree with you, Grant, that, you know, the path up to this point is pretty easy. But I think it's incredible when you consider, again, the fact that they've won the Super Bowl the last 2 years, how they have more miles, more hits on their bodies than any other team in the NFL. And they're getting everybody's best shot every single week, right? And they're pretty much beating everybody along the way. So, look, if they win Sunday, they win the Super Bowl, they three-peat, there's really nothing more than you can say. And you can hate them, but at the end of the day, I think you have to appreciate the greatness.
What matchup kind of within that game will kind of help decide it in your mind, PJ? Just sort of game within the game there. Is it, you know, spying on Allen? Is it, you know, I don't know, I'm thinking of a receiver-cornerback matchup, something in the trenches. Where do you think that game's going to end up being won or lost?
I think it's probably going to be how the Bills deal with Xavier Worthy. Because if you look at that Chiefs-Texans game, guys, there was only one receiver that caught a pass in that game, and it was Worthy. It was Kelce and Worthy. That was it. Those were the only guys that were doing anything downfield for Mahomes. So we know Kelce's going to get his, right? Every team comes into a game hoping that they can limit him, and it never happens, especially in the playoffs. But Worthy's the guy. They got to try and take him away because of his speed and all the different ways that they try and get him the ball. So I think that's going to be a big factor, right? Kelce is going to get his touches. You can hope to contain him. But really taking away Worthy and making sure his speed doesn't impact the game, I think is going to be a big factor on in the AFC title game.
PJ, I want to, before we get to the NFC title game, go around the league with you really quickly. Which hiring of Lions coordinators did you like more? The Jets going and getting Aaron Glennon, bringing him in, or the Bears finally luring Ben Johnson away from the Lions?
I actually like the Aaron Glenn hire, guys, more. I really did. I thought, you know, the Jets haven't been to the playoffs in over a decade. Rex Ryan was the last coach to get him there. And Rex kind of reminds me of Aaron Glenn, just personality-wise, right? They're both kind of guys that, like, are unapologetically themselves. They're a little brash, right? They say what's on their mind. And the Jets are a team that we know they need a culture change. They need somebody in that locker room that it kind of flips the script, much like Harbaugh did with the Chargers, Dan Campbell with the Lions. The Jets need somebody like that, and I think Aaron Glenn's going to provide that for them. So, obviously, they got to figure out what they want to do at quarterback in the offense, but the Jets needed a head coach for the culture, and I think they got it in Aaron Glenn.
The Cowboys aren't really going to hire Brian Schottenheimer, are they?
I mean, it's incredible. They might. At this point, nothing really the Cowboys do surprised me. I didn't think they'd get this far with Schottenheimer, but all the reports, I kind of think it's going to happen, guys.
All right, let's go to this. You may have heard Washington is in the NFC title game, as they always are if this was the 80s. But here we are against Philadelphia, hated rival. Just how do you see it going? What's the key?
It's awesome. I think the key to the game for me is, you know, two things that I think are interesting heading into this game, right? Obviously, this is the third time this year that both teams are facing each other. Detroit didn't see Jaden during the regular season. Tampa saw him all the way back in week one, but obviously that was a way different version. So kind of the chess game between both teams I think will be fascinating. And then also, you know, Hurts, what does he look like? To me, this spread, Philly minus six, is kind of being priced like Hurts is healthy. And I think we all know that that really isn't the case. So how does he look? Saquon, obviously, you know, he's an incredible player. The Eagles have a great O-line. I do think Hurts is going to have to make some plays, though, in this game. And I think he's going to have to make some throws. So how healthy is he? What does that look like? To me, that'll be the game. Saquon's going to get his yards. Washington, I think, is going to do a pretty decent job, though, on him. And I think the game is going to come down to Jalen Hurts and the plays that he makes in the pass game.
Yeah, I'm with you. All right, PJ's got your betting advice over on BetQL. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, guys.
We appreciate you. Let's keep the blitz going. Our friend Kevin Sheehan, you know him from the aptly named Kevin Sheehan Show. Kev, I'm going to start where I started last time, and I apologize in advance. But I said this to you about a month ago, and you were a little bit, I would say, non-committal on it, but I want to see where you're at. You know they're never changing the name again now, right?
It's over, right?
I don't know that.
Do you think there's a chance they could still or would still change the name even if they win the Super Bowl as the Commanders?
If they win the Super Bowl, I definitely think that puts it into a different realm. But right now, I do think they would still change it. I do. And I think at the very least, they will change a lot associated with the brand, things like uniforms, et cetera.
That I totally agree with.
Mm-hmm.
I thought at the beginning of the year, it was a lock that they would not be named what they are in 5 years. And I now think
right.
that's a pipe dream. I think it's over.
Well,
everybody's rocking Commanders gear.
Yeah, you know, I was with you at the beginning of the year and really since ownership changed, that it was a lock that it would change, not to Redskins. That ship sailed, mm-hmm. clearly, but to something else. You know, something that I found interesting, and I don't know if you guys saw this. Did you see that the local TV numbers for the team this year ranked 21st in the league?
Yeah.
That shocked me. Now, I have not seen the playoff numbers. I can't imagine that the Tampa and the Detroit games didn't generate massive audiences here locally, but I was surprised that the numbers weren't much higher.
So my take is, I don't know if you agree with this or not, I think the tent is way smaller, but the passion within the tent right now is unbelievable.
Yeah, they're still in.
And by the way, the tent is growing, and it's also going to be just a different... I mean, some people will be crossovers in the Venn diagram, but it's also going to be very different. Like, there's a lot of kids now wearing Jaden Daniels jerseys that don't care that they were the Redskins, and, you know, were wearing Mahomes jerseys a year or two ago. But I do think the fan base is just a lot smaller, but I think the passion now, compared to the beginning of the season, is obviously night and day and kind of unbelievable.
I agree with that completely. I mean, and I think I've referenced just, you know, because I kind of felt, and I don't know if you guys felt it at any point this year, I'm like, this is big. And then I kind of thought, well, it's possible that we're just in a much bigger bubble. But it's still a bubble. And that's essentially what you're saying, I think.
Yeah.
So, Kevin, the spread remains at 6.5. Last I've seen, depends on your book, but 6.5. It started at 4.5. This PJ Glasser we just had on said something interesting, and I think he's right. I want to ask you about this. It seems like it's staying here because everyone thinks Jalen Hurts is just going to be Jalen Hurts, and he'll be fine, and the knee's fine, and Washington's going to get carved up. That's why that number seems to be sticking right there to me. What are your thoughts on that?
I don't know. I mean, I think these standalone games, you know, this at this point in the season, there's never real explanations except for, you know, the guys that really move the numbers, true sharp bettors and feared bettors. So jumping, I didn't, to be honest with you, I never saw it at 4.5. I saw it at 5.5, but still it jumped to 6, and there are a couple of 6.5s out there. That has got to be, you know, a super sharp, respected, you know, or group of them betting Philadelphia. That would be my guess. Why are they betting Philadelphia? I don't know. I mean, that seems like a decent, you know, assumption that they believe Hurts is going to be Hurts.
Whose breakout in this run, other than Daniels, obviously, which speaks for itself, but he's been great throughout the year. But whose breakout have you been most impressed by or do you find most entertaining here?
I guess the easy answer for that would be De'Ami Brown, but I'm just thrilled that Eckler's back because I think, you know, at one point earlier in the season, if we had polled all of our listeners and said, after Jaden, who's the second best player on the team, I think they would have said Eckler, you know, at some point in October. And then he went away with the injury, and they missed him. Now, he didn't play in the last Philadelphia game, so they didn't miss him that much because they scored 36 points despite turning the ball over 5 times. But I didn't know what to expect from Eckler this year, but he's really valuable to this team and this offense.
What do they do at right guard?
I guess move Wiley and play Lucas at tackle. But I don't know. I was listening to the Kingsbury presser. You know, he seemed impressed with Trent with Trent Scott, and I think he played pretty well against the Lions. They're not going to tell us. We'll know on Sunday at 3. But I bet you it's getting their best five on the field, and I think that includes Lucas. And to me, that means Wiley moves inside.
Kevin, you know that Barkley in the two games went for 146 and 150 with two touchdowns apiece. If I was to tell you he's going to split the difference this weekend and go for 148 with two touchdowns, is there a path to still winning that game, in your opinion?
Yeah, because of what you just said. I mean, he had a 150, and they won the last game. I think they win the game Sunday with their offense. And we've already seen that they don't stop the run. They don't play great defense consistently. And they've overcome that for now seven consecutive games or six consecutive games or whatever it is now in terms of the winning streak. Seven, right? Five at the end of the regular season. So, I mean, every week I sit here and say, got to stop the run. Really hard to win if you don't stop the run. And they don't stop the run and they win. And it's because their offense is that good. It masks, it will maybe not masks, but it's able to overcome every other flaw they have on the team. So I would never say that they can't win if Barkley goes for a big day.
Speaking of that offense, this is the best defense on their schedule. They put them a couple times. That second half outburst certainly happened, and that's a data point. But how confident are you this weekend that you get that same offense against this really good Philly D?
I'm confident, Danny. I mean, I know what it looked like in that Thursday night game, but I kind of tossed that because it's 4 days turnaround, first kind of exposure to Fangio. I thought that was the only time this year that they looked confused and off offensively. And even in the first half, you know, in Landover, it wasn't pretty. But what I saw Saturday night, completely different defense. What I saw against Tampa, I just think right now they're unstoppable on offense. And the way you stop them is that Philly needs to think about possessing the football and scoring on 6 of 9 drives and keeping Jaden Daniels in this offense off the field. I mean, I think you start looking at it from the other team's perspective. They can win if Jaden isn't on the field as much as he's been. Because if they're on the field for 8, 9, 10 possessions, they're scoring 28-plus, maybe more than that. I said plus.
Kevin, what show are you binging these days?
I'm not, although everybody in my family wants me to get into Severance. Have not watched any of it yet.
I tried it for an hour. I hated it so much.
Really?
Yeah. No, it's really good, Kevin.
But,
listen to him.
But I will say I'm the only person that has that opinion, and I turned it off after like 15 minutes because the guy just walked around the hallway the whole time, and I was like, this is stupid. I'm out. But I just couldn't
just walked around the hallway? I've heard... I mean, Danny, I think you and I probably are similar in the shows that we like. Everybody that likes the shows that I like, say they just tell me that I'll absolutely love Severance.
Yeah, it's a slower burn, and every kind of thing you peel back and every page you turn is more jaw-dropping than the last. A little more bubblegum for you, though, Kevin. Highly recommend Guy Ritchie television show. So normally his movies, you know, Lock, Stock and Snatch and all those. The Gentleman, really well done. It's a lot of fun.
I will check it out. Definitely. I actually want to see a movie that I haven't seen because everybody says the Dylan movie with Chalamet is great.
I heard it was awesome. I like Chalamet. He's a hell of an actor.
Seems like he can act well.
Yeah.
He's excellent. He really is, although he seems to be in everything these days. But we don't have time for this stuff. We've got a championship game.
No, that is true.
The reason I ask, though, is now we're down to football just on Sunday every now and then. So there's going to be a lot of weeknights to fill in the blanks here.
You're right. Yeah, no doubt. I'll be into something soon, but hopefully not until after New Orleans on February 9th.
Ain't that a fact? All right, brother, be good.
See you, buddy.
All right, guys.
There's Kevin Sheehan of the Kevin Sheehan Show. That is our Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny. I want to talk about this Eagles defense. They're obviously outstanding. They are ranked number one in the NFL. But should Washington be worried about them? Are they as good defensively as the Commanders are good offensively? We'll get into that next. Charles Mann is on the show at 5 o'clock.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Charles Mann, former Redskins legend, 5 o'clock right here on Grant and Danny. Bill Barnwell, ESPN.com, does a great job covering the NFL at 6. We'll get his thoughts and picks for this weekend's championship game. How good is the Eagles' defense? That's the conversation I want to have, and we can open up the MGM National Harbor listener line on this right now at 800-636-1067. That's 800-636-1067. So I guess let me just start, Danny, by saying I understand that that's an exceptional unit. You cannot get through a full season ranking number one overall on a side of the ball and not be really, really good.
Mm-hmm.
And in yards per play, that's what Philadelphia was. So 32 teams in the league, every time they lined up, per play basis, the Eagles gave up the fewest yards at 4.7. They ranked number 9 against the run. They ranked number 1 against the pass. I don't find them to be a dominant, scary defense, though. To me, generally, when you're going up against like a number one defense, you go into that game and you go, I don't know how I'm going to move the ball on this team. You know what I mean? You know what that looks like over the years with like the Ravens in 2000 or
Legion of Boom defense.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't really see them that way. Now, why is that? Part of it, I think, is the game that I just watched them play against Washington when the Commanders scored 36 points and Jaden Daniels threw 5 touchdown passes against them just a handful of weeks ago. They have been leaky over the last couple of weeks. I thought they really got bailed out to an extent by the weather against the Rams. Like, their numbers against L.A. look really, really good. But if you look at it, there were a ton of drops in that game. Rams receivers could not hold on to the ball. Mm-hmm. There were guys slipping out of breaks. The snow benefited them immensely. I think they can be had a little bit in that secondary, oddly enough, as a unit that was number one yards per play against the pass. And you've seen some teams have success running the ball against them. That's why they're back end top 10. They also don't really do a great job getting to the quarterback. They harass you. They move you around. They don't sack you very often. They're 15th in sacks per pass attempt. Basically smack dab in the middle of the league. They don't pick off a lot of passes. They are not in the top 10 in that category. They're good at forcing punts and, you know, not allowing you to extend drives. They're number one in first downs per game. Again, they do things very well. They're third on third down defense, partially because they win on early downs. But, you know, they're 20th in goal to go when you get inside the 10. They are 23rd at stopping fourth downs when teams go for fourth downs. I wonder if there's any team
that goes for a lot of
fourth downs around these parts. Here is my argument. They are very good. I don't find them to be scary. I am not worried. I don't go into that game going, oh, damn, I got to play the Eagles defense this week. I just don't put them in that category. And I think it's hard for me to unsee what I just watched with my own eyes at Northwest Stadium in Landover, going back to week 16, where Washington did whatever they wanted. The Eagles did not have, after the first quarter, really, a single answer for the Commanders in that game. And Jaden Daniels, in that contest, oh, by the way, went for 88 yards on the ground and then threw for 5 touchdowns. Elite defenses don't really allow that to happen. They don't have games like that on the ledger.
I think that's a lot of that is fair because some of those are numerical data points. But let me throw this back at you. They allowed 20 points or less in 13 of their 19 games so far this year. If you expand that to 22 or less, it goes up to 16 out of 19. You don't just luck your way into that, regardless of opponent, in this modern day and age. Half their games, they allowed less than 300 total yards. And that's in games that they're dominating, which they dominated a bunch of them, where teams are just throwing it every down, and they're playing some prevent and soft stuff. You've got 3 outlier games over the course of this year. Their worst game of the season where they got blown up by Tampa Bay. That happened. I'm not taking that away. I'm not changing that. That happened. The opener in, not in North America, against Green Bay, who moved the football at will and scored some points against them.
They were terrible in that game.
They were bad in that game. I have nothing to say about that. And then really the second half against Washington, where if you look at the first half, they watched all the things that I'm afraid of that you're not, which I think is reasonable, by the way. That's what I'm worried about. I'm worried about downs, fumble, punt, fumble, punt. Washington's first half drive chart. I think that group is excellent. I think Fangio was the best defensive coordinator maybe in football, or he's close to it. If you look at his body work over the last decade plus, he is probably not a great head coach, but he's an excellent DC. Figures out guys, what bothers you coverage-wise, and you're 100% right. They don't have the passer harassment that they did a couple seasons ago when they set the modern record for sacks. They were 15, 20 sacks clear of the second-place team. They're not that in terms of a pass-rushing group, but you look at the body of work they've turned in, they have been dominant at times, and at worst, really good at others. The outlier samples I went through, it's really the last 18 minutes of that Washington game where it got away from them. That happened, and it was awesome. But for 3/4 of that game, they were kicking Washington's butt pretty good. I don't know.
So you're mostly, the best point I think you made, and it's the one that you're going to hear a lot about this defense, is you're mostly looking at how many points they've given up. Fair? Exclusively.
Well, you touched that. Yards per play, they're number one. Yards per pass, they're number one. All that stuff.
I'm just saying that, yes, they do not give up yards and they don't give up points. I think the biggest reason for that is they're not on the field that much. It's about their offense. The best thing about their defense is they're the best running team in the league, obviously. Mm-hmm. They're the best ball possession team most games in the league. I'm going to ask you this. Where do you think they rank out of 32 teams in number of plays on the field defensively this year?
Oh, I would know. I don't know. The second or third least.
Least,
yeah.
32. The Panthers were on the field this year for 1,154 plays. The Eagles were not even on the field for 1,000. They had 999 defensive plays, the only team in the league.
Sub 1,000.
And in fact, almost no other teams are sub like 1025 or 1030. They're not on the field. Less is asked of them. So I think the reason why their defense plays well is they can't be exposed. That the other team's offense doesn't get enough looks and reps and opportunities. Well, what does Washington have? They have two games of tape, and they're getting now a third look at them. So, again, it as part of making an argument, I think you end up like belittling or whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying they are bad. This is a legitimate top-of-the-league type defense, top five, top ten in any given year, whatever. Are they scary? No. They lack, to me, like really scary players. There's a couple. Jalen Carter is an absolute menace to society, and I worry about him every single moment of every single game. But normally when you're talking about a number one defense, there's a guy like that at every level, and there's not really for me with this group. I'll take Terry McLaurin on Quinyon Mitchell. You saw that in the second game. These two teams played, by the way, where Washington actually threw the ball to Terry, and he cooked them. The first game when the Eagles had Washington's number, no time to prepare. If you remember, Cliff actually going into the second game talked about how he overdid it and he gave them too much and there was too much on Jaden's plate, basically, and he should have dumbed things down and just kind of, you know, ran what they had prepared already. They didn't do that. So I think some of that was the lack of prep time. I think Daniels was compromised and not 100% probably. And it was a bad game, cold weather, gross, on the road, whatever, a lot of factors. You're going to have bad nights. I'll give them credit, too. They did a really good job. And they have disguised and surprised Daniels this season. They forced him into more bad middle-of-the-field throws than any other team. He probably should have, like, I think he has three interceptions against them. He should probably have five or six. Mm-hmm. They're the team that's made him look the most like a rookie. So, again, kudos to them. They're good. But I think Washington's offense is better than Philly's defense is. Washington's offense is more good than the Eagles' defense is good.
So, the plays argument or point is a good one. Where you go, it's because of their offense. I'm going, it's because of their defense, because they get off the field, because they don't let you get many yards, and they force you to punt. They don't turn you over a ton. You're 100% right, even though that five-turnover game happened, and they have a four-turnover game in there. Pretty much half their season turnovers, by the way, were over a couple of games. So that's one place where you can go, dominant defenses, take it away as much as, you know, way more than this group would, is what I would say. But to me, that you look at the average time of drive, for example, of offenses. Philly's absolutely in the top 10 or top five, as is Detroit, as is Washington, as was Tampa Bay, and their defenses aren't like this. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're right that they're set up well to play complementary football, where you can stay on the field, get first downs, score some points, but you still got to get those three and outs. You still got to get those. Washington doesn't, and this Philadelphia defense does by point of comparison.
Yeah. Commander's defense is not good.
Right. But I'm offering that. Hey, they're right there comparable in terms of time of possession for you know, on average for each drive.
But the Eagles are the number one time of possession team in the league. And it's because they run the ball at a rate that nobody else can or does.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the most friendly, awesome thing you can do for your defense.
That is totally true.
Generally speaking, the better you are at running the ball in time of possession, the better your defense is going to be. See the Ravens as an example, who are right there as well, who had the other 2,000-yard back.
Totally right.
This year.
And I guess my point is that group is also coming. I mean, they're playing at home, but that offense is available, and they're going to do that to a group that can't stop them in terms of Washington.
Absolutely, but that, which is a whole other conversation,
right.
I guess, to just, in a vacuum, how good is the Eagles' defense? If you put this Eagles' defense on a mediocre offense, what does it look like? Now, it goes without saying it would get worse as you play more,
mm-hmm.
but that's kind of my whole argument. I don't think they're, you know, they're obviously not the 2,000 Ravens all time,
right.
You know, some of those defenses, but the question, I guess, is do they scare you? And really, other than Jalen Carter, my answer is no. I also think not having N'Kobe Dean's a big, big deal, who they used to spy Jaden Daniels, who did a pretty good job at times keeping him in the pocket.
Very much so.
Who can move pretty well sideline to sideline. I think that's a huge, huge loss. Let's go to Kevin in D.C. on Grant and Danny. How do you feel about the Eagles' number one ranked defense?
I feel like how you feel. Outside of Jalen Carter, there's nothing scary.
Yeah, I mean, like, do you
outside
think...
Outside of Jalen Carter, but and one thing the people have to remember, too, we didn't have Jonathan Allen for neither one of those games as well.
Well, that's true. I mean, early in the year, he wasn't necessarily putting them over the top or the swinging pendulum anyway, but he did have a tremendous game against Detroit. I think he had 7 pressures. He ended up really making a huge impact.
Need that again against that excellent offensive line.
Yeah, different side of the ball, obviously, than what we're talking about right now, which is the Washington offense against the Philly defense. Question for you guys is, how confident are you that the Commanders will be able to move the football and score points on this defense? Like, to me, I feel great about that. I think they'll move the ball, they'll score points. I do worry about turnovers. I think Daniels is going to throw a pick in this game. I hope it's one, because we have seen it. We've seen Vic Fangio is the only guy that has figured out some way that Daniels doesn't quite see everything in the VR headset before the game.
Right.
I don't know what he's got on him, but he's got something. I need it to be one pick, not two picks.
And I also hope it's not. I hope it's like an arm punt. You know what I mean? Like something downfield. Like the one interception that was over the middle, because remember there were two in that game, that was kind of deeper over the middle, I think it was intended for McCaffrey. Wasn't a great arm punt, but it wasn't like sideways line of scrimmage that gets returned for a touchdown.
The home game? The second game
that they won.
Yes.
It was. I mean, it was 25, 30 yards down the field. So that wouldn't be a great punt, but I'll take
it
that.
It was around midfield.
Way different than somebody jumps something and you get a free touchdown.
The other one was when they got the ball back to try to go win the game.
Mm-hmm.
In minus territory near your own red zone, basically.
Yeah.
And the defense bailed you out, and then you had to kick the field goal,
right.
I guess, and they still got to go down and have a chance to win. 800-636-1067 is the number on Grant and Danny. Charles Mann's on the show at 5, Bill Barnwell at 6. It's an NFC Championship game week on Grant and Danny. We're out and about tomorrow.
Cat is on Cordell in Bethesda. I am excited about this, my friend. This is one of those iconic spots that has been around forever. Home of so many game watches. It's just this, it's one of those spots where it's like you associate it, man. It's like a hometown type bar. Fitting, that's where we're headed tomorrow.
Speaking of game watches, if you're going to listen to the game on Sunday, listen to 106.7 The Fan. We got a pregame broadcast. We'll be on postgame. We'll have coverage from Lincoln Financial Field. I'll be on site. And we've got the live play-by-play from Westwood One's Ian Eagle, Kurt Warner, and Ross Tucker all day long right here on 106.7 The Fan, including, for the first time this season, the actual game, which is very, very cool. That's what happens when you make the championship round. We get to take the games. How do you guys feel about the Eagles' defense is the question. Phillips in Silver Spring on The Fan. What's up, Phillip?
What's going on, guys? How you doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Good. I want to just kind of touch on Grant's point where the Eagles' offense kind of dictates the flow of the game and keeps their defense off the field. They do play great complementary football, but you also got to look at what the Eagles did to the Ravens' offense. When the Ravens were on the field most of that game, the Eagles' defense did step up and make key stops time after time after time. So I don't want to discredit their defense and say, that it's a product of their offense being on the field so long. They have playmakers. Jalen Carter's a huge playmaker. I think Zach Bond's a huge playmaker. Their weakness is their safeties. Blankenship and Gardner Johnson are not the best in coverage. So if you want to attack them, you got to attack their safeties.
Combined for 10 interceptions between them, but I actually tend to agree with that.
I was going to say, and they're number one against the pass.
Yeah, if there is a weak link in the secondary, it's those guys. But again, I think it's all relative. Like, I'll take that group over, top of my head, 25, 26, 27, 28 teams in terms of their ability to cover and disrupt passes.
I think their secondary in general is a bit of a weakness. I wouldn't just say safety. Darius Slay gets beat a bunch at this point. He'll make plays. He reminds me a little bit of like D'Angelo at the end of his career, where he's going to make plays and give up some plays. I think Slay can be had, and he might get you too, but you can definitely make some chunks against him. Quinyon Mitchell's supposed to play, by the way.
Mm-hmm. Banged up shoulder, but I bet you he goes in this one.
They're down. Like they had two corners leave last week,
mm-hmm,
in that game. They have 3 cornerbacks hurt that are on the injury report that are trying to play in this game while not at 100%. So I don't know that I completely agree. The safety position where they're actually healthier is a whole lot better than the corner position for them right now. Let's go to Paul in D.C. What's up, Paul?
Hey, what's up? How you doing, fellas?
Good, buddy.
Hey, I agree with Danny. I think that you're mistaken, Grant, because at the end of the day, they get off the field And if you think about it, they're about to go to the Super Bowl, or, I mean, hopefully they don't if we beat them. But if they did, they had the NFC Championship game, and Jalen Hurts hasn't even thrown over 200 yards yet. That's saying something. And granted, they got a running game that's killing, and maybe Saquon Barkley is dominating in a real fashion. But that goes to show you how good the defense is. They're giving their offense opportunities to hold on to the ball and more possessions. And, you know, so the thing about
I would say, though, Paul, they played a snow game this past week where the other team was slipping and sliding all over the place like they were on, you know, some water toy in your backyard.
I think the Rams could have beat them if they were on neutral, you know, if they was on a regular field. But I'm just saying, I mean, in terms of the defense in general, they're like Greg Williams' defenses used to be. We never had statistical numbers, but Greg Williams, once you got inside the 20, you wasn't putting no points on the boards, or you were putting up field goals.
I think that's actually a really good comp, and that was never a special defense. That's kind of my point. Like, they're the number one defense in the league. Credit to them. If I'm going up in a normal situation against the number one defense in the NFL in the championship game, I'm looking at the matchup going, how in the hell am I going to move the ball? This is going to be brutal. Every single inch is going to be earned. I don't really feel like that. I just watched this team go up and down the field, walking at the pace you would walk to your kitchen refrigerator with ease. It was just a track meet. Whatever they wanted, they got it. Missing tackles on another. Alamide Zaccheaus looked like Jerry Rice in that game. Let's go to Drew in Graysonville. What's up, Drew?
Hey, I agree with what you just said. You know, I've been to every game, every regular season game of three, and both the playoff games. By the way, see you Saturday at the Hard Rock. And
nice, see you out there.
And I've just spent all this week rewatching both games against the Eagles about six times. And the bottom line is, they're a good defense, right? They're the top defense in the league this year. But we moved the ball on them. We moved the ball on them even when Jaden was hurt. And so we're going to move the ball. And as long as we don't make a critical game-changing turnover, if we protect the ball, you know, the ball is life, as DQ would say. If we treat it that way and play our game, we're going to come out with a win. And so not taking anything away from these guys, but they are not the Ravens of, you know, the Ray Lewis era.
No, I mean, they're not one of the three or four best defenses in the history of the game.
But you know what he's saying. I don't know.
They're
not dominant. That's my point. A number one defense is normally dominant. I don't view them as dominant.
Fair enough. In a league or a year where there wasn't one of those, oh my God, how do you move the ball a square inch defenses?
Yeah.
They were still by far and away the best on a relative scale.
Maybe that's
a point then.
Another way I would say it is, I could, like, there's 10 defenses I'd probably rather play the Eagles than. Did that make sense? I don't know if I said that correctly.
Say that again.
I'd rather play the Eagles defense than like 7 to 10 defenses in the league this
really?
Weekend. Oh yeah. Definitely. I'd rather play them than the Rams, the way the Rams have been playing defense and rushing the quarterback. Like, Jared Verse is a problem in a way that nobody on that team other than Jalen Carter is. And they have Brandon Fisk, assuming he was healthy enough to go, who has been playing at a level not quite at Jalen Carter's level, but pretty damn close at D-tackle. Like, there are more guys I have to worry about that are playing their butt off for the Rams than the Eagles, in my opinion. And I'm just thinking about the team that they played last
week. Sure, yeah.
But, like, the caller a couple back was like, well, look, they haven't even thrown for 130 and they're winning. They're still running wild.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they played a snow game, which tamped down offense. And the game before that, respectfully, I thought Jordan Love was bad. And I love Jordan Love. I'm a big fan of his. I think he's a stud. I thought he stunk. Now, you might say that the Eagles were the reason he stunk. I thought he missed a lot of stuff. I just thought he misfired.
Yeah, I think both are true.
That game began with a fluky fumble right off the top. And before you knew it, Jahan Dotson, lo and behold. That Jahan Dotson.
That one, yeah.
Caught a touchdown, and it was like a 14-0 game, and it had been 6 seconds. Maybe that was the first one. Maybe it was 7-0. Let's go to Patrick in Fredericksburg. What's up, bro?
January football feels good, fellas. I'm excited for it.
We agree.
Not having Austin Ekeler the second game, I don't know if it's been talked enough about, but he's such a key part of the offense that we didn't have and still moved the ball on them the second game, right? So the only thing about the Eagles' defense, guys, is that they do force a lot of turnovers, and I mean, even with all those turnovers, their games in the playoffs have been really close in the fourth quarter. They haven't really pulled away. At least we pulled away from Detroit, where it wasn't really like it was a two-possession game, you know, 10-point game most of the time. But I'm not so worried about them as long as we don't – that the turnovers is what I'm worried about. If we continue to turn the ball over and give it to Saquon, they can run their, you know, running game to the extent that they want to, and then it becomes a time of possession thing. That's really what I'm more worried about. But I think Austin Ekeler and our offense, besides Cosme being healthy, is going to be huge in this one. So
that's well said.
Yeah, I tend to agree. I mean, I think Ekeler has to have a massive game in this one.
Speaking of scary defenders you have to game plan for, Charles Mann, Redskins great, joins us next on G&D.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.